Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The husbands love to give that other scripture. You got to submit, you know, but then, you know, loving her as Christ loves the church. You're going to be calling on her to submit to everything. I can tell you, a woman can submit very easy if you're loving her as Christ loved the church. You won't even have to be asking her to do it. She'll do it automatically. Amen. It says that he might sanctify. Look at it. Speaking of Christ, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, with a washing of water. By the word, that he might present it to himself. How? After he washes it with the water of the word, he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. These waters will wash the wrinkle and the spot away from the body of Christ. Now go over to Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to look at verse 19. These are just some reference scriptures I want you to see, because I'm going to reference them, but I want you to see them. Hebrews 10 and 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he's consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Now notice this word right here. And our bodies washed, our bodies washed with pure water. Now that's not ceremonial water under the law. That's living water. How many of you ever missed that scripture? I've only missed that one for 24 years. Having your body washed with pure water, with living water. You mean there's some living water that will wash your body? What does your body need washing of? I usually use Irish Spring and natural water. And he said he washes you with the water of the word. Do you be without spot or wrinkle? There is a living water that will purify your body. Now, one more scripture before I jump in. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God had commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Say earthen vessels. That's very important to understand this, because the earthen vessel, you were made out of the dust, but he covered the face of the earth first with water, then made you out of the dust. So he kind of made you out of some dust and water. You can call that clay, or you can call that mud, but it was real good mud. Amen. You were made out of the dust with water. You are an earthen vessel. Okay? Now, with that in mind, I want you to go to Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to get into this. Now, before you go to Genesis, stop by Romans chapter 6 for a minute. I want to lay some groundwork here of what the waters of Noah are going to mean to us. Generally, when you read the waters of Noah and they're wiping out all flesh and destroying the whole earth, it's like, thank God you're not doing that. And the Lord said, you need these waters. I said, get behind me. I said, how could I possibly need waters that are wiping out the face of the earth? He goes, no, you don't understand. You need these waters. Yeah, they kind of convinced me. That's why I said about the waters, they have the fullness of the inheritance of God in them, but you can only have what you can see. That's why he said, let there be light. And the light came upon the waters. Until you get light on a certain part of these waters, that particular part of that water is not going to be available to you. But when you get light and revelation, then that particular operation of the living water will come available. So you have to ask yourself, what does the living waters mean to me? Because I have a well spring of living water in me, but what does that water mean to me? What does it mean to you? Whatever it means to you, whatever you can see it to be, that's what's going to flow. We can walk around a long time and not really know what's in that water because we don't have the revelation of that water. But when you get the revelation of that water, it will start manifesting according to that revelation because the fullness, the best way I can describe the fullness of that inheritance lives in the water. Amen. Go to Romans 6 for a minute. You know that your spirit, soul, and body, and your spirit's made in the image of God. You're a new creation in spirit. You know that when you were buried with him in baptism, now this is real important. I get this imagery in you before I jump into this message. When you were buried with him in baptism and raised with him in glory, what part of you was raised with him in glory? Your spirit. What part of you that's seated with him in heavenly places? Your spirit. Your body's not seated in heavenly places. The unregenerated parts of your soul's not seated in heavenly places. Your soul didn't get born again. Your spirit got born again. Your body did not get born again. Your spirit got born again. Your body will get born again. You'll get a glorified body, but you don't have it now. So when you were buried with him in baptism, what part come up out? Your spirit was raised up out of the water, which means what? That your unregenerated part of your soul, the fallen nature, and your body should have stayed in the water. You get that? Because it was supposed to be baptized into his death. Only one part of you was supposed to come out. The rest of it was supposed to stay down. That's why Paul said, I keep my body under. There's another way to keep your body under just besides fasting. I've done it by fasting. There's another way to keep it under too. There's a way to get it washed in pure water. There is living water that will wash the nature of your flesh. He did not change the nature of your flesh. Your flesh can still sin. With even a full operation of the Holy Ghost, signs, miracles, wonders, global evangelism, he operated out of you and you can still have the capacity for great sin because you're still wearing a body that can and will sin if you let it. It has a fallen nature in it and he did not change that nature. Wickedness can abide up in there. Iniquity can abide up in there. Now, what we get really good at as Christians is discipline. We get good at disciplining those areas as we walk with God, but we still struggle. We have areas we struggle. They won't ever go away. They just keep coming up. They're always there. What do we do with them? Well, we push them down, deny them, push them down. I'm going to tell you today how to get rid of it. The best way he can get rid of it until he gives you a glorified body. Amen. Romans 6, verse 3, know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. What part of you come up out of that place? Your spirit. That means that when Jesus went into baptism, he went fully into baptism. Spirit, soul, and body. Your body was supposed to stay under the water. We are buried with him by baptism in the death, and it's like was Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. Only your spirit can do that. However, all parts of you can receive the living water, because I just showed you in Hebrews, he washes our body with pure water. Do you know how to get that living water on your body? When you do, you're going to receive some really good stuff. The living water can flow all through you. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at verse 12 of Hebrews 6. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Your mortal body is naturally prone to lust. It's naturally prone to sin. That's what it does. It has a fallen nature in it. But God has a remedy besides disciplining yourself against it for a whole lifetime. He has a great remedy. He even has a greater one I'm going to show you tonight. He can wipe that stuff out. And this is what he showed me. Remember what I say about the water. You can only have what you see. He took me into an operation of the waters and showed me an operation, New Testament and Old Testament, of what these waters can do. And I started applying my faith, and I had a serious encounter. Parts of it I can talk about, parts I can't. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. Tonight's message, I have lived it already since I received this only 5 days ago. I had a major encounter. So I'm talking about firsthand. I'm not just talking about revelation tonight. I've had a firsthand encounter with the water that I'm going to talk about tonight, with the operation of these waters. Firsthand encounter. Wasn't not even ready for all that happened, but it happened. Praise God. We're going to get into the waters of Noah. Now, before Noah, rain had never come upon the face of the earth. Water come up from under the earth. It came by the well springs. That was God's original intent. Water would come up by the well springs. Now, during the days of Noah, that was the first time it rained when God flooded the earth. And let's look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, that daughters were born unto them. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men that were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120. Now what was happening from the days of Adam, men were living anywhere from 300 years to 965 years old. Now that might have been good, but the problem was there was no new nature in man. All man was a fallen race. So what was actually happening is sin was corrupting so greatly because it had so many years to sow its corruption that there was more corruption than there was righteousness because of the longevity of man. So God, he brought that level down into a more sustainable time frame. That's why he actually did that. He brought man's life down to 120 years to keep the corruption of the flesh from over corrupting the earth. Do you understand that? You have something in a place of corruption, you keep it there, it'll keep multiplying. Corruption is corruption, it will multiply. Flesh will multiply just like the Spirit of God will. So God restrained it and gave it a lifetime of 120 years. He really did that to restrain sin more than anything else. Amen? Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. You see that? Wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was evil continually. Now, when we read this, we're not in the days of Noah. We're not even in that covenant. What we're going to do is we're going to read all of Noah. We're going to transition and transfer Noah into the new covenant. We're going to read it as a type and a shadow. We're going to meditate it as a type and a shadow, because you need to understand what was happening here. And there was corruption and wickedness. So when we read this under the shadow, I want you to understand that you are the earth that's going to get flooded. Okay? The wickedness he's speaking of and the violence he'll start speaking of, I want you to look at that as the fallen part of your nature that you still wear in a body. Now, because we're really good at ruling over our flesh, so to speak, and we're really good at disciplining, and your spirit has a lot of power, so it can really rule over the operation of your flesh. Even though you have the Spirit of God, you have the treasure in an earthen vessel, the earthen vessel still has capacity. Your body, unrestrained, can do anything. In Genesis chapter 6, 7, 8, or 9, anything you read about in those four chapters, your body has that capacity. Because sin is sin, whether it's in full-blown state or in seed form, it's capacity. And even though you're not full of violence and you may not be full of wickedness, your flesh has the capacity for it. That's why a man of God can walk for 30 years, then fill in the earth with the glory of God, and all of a sudden something rise up in him and takes that ministry down in front of everybody. He said, where did that come from? The devil got a hold of him. Usually where it comes from is a capacity that's already been sown into his flesh, sown into the part of him that did not get resurrected with Christ. And that thing gave forth and brought forth fruit and ended up overriding their spirit. What I'm going to show you tonight is how to never allow that to happen. More importantly, what I'm going to show you is an operation tonight where you don't have to be disciplining yourself against the constant problems your flesh creates. I'm going to show you how to put it under and keep it under, because there's power in these waters. He didn't say he'd wash your body with pure water. He's not washing natural dirt off your body. He's washing the capacity that body has for sin. There is a water, part of the DNA of the living water, that can wash that nature down. He can't change that nature until you get a glorified body, but he can wash it down to where it does not struggle against you. So your spirit can fully reign. These living waters are a whole lot more than we thought. Oh, booyah! Hallelujah. So God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imaginative thought of his heart was evil continually. That's your flesh. Like it or not, that's your flesh. That's not who you are. But it is a part of the body you wear in the unregenerated part of your soul. Because see, my mind, will, and emotion didn't get saved. I didn't have a born-again experience in my mind. It was the nature of my spirit was washed by the blood. Tell you something, when the blood of Jesus washes something, the blood is the only thing that can change the nature. Water's not going to change your nature. It's just going to keep it down and wash it down. It's going to keep the dirt off. It's going to keep the stuff from growing. Blood changes the nature. When your spirit was washed in the blood, you went from sin to righteousness. You went from iniquity to a new creation, born again, Son of the living God, seated in heavenly places. Only the blood could do that. What we need is the water for our soul. Those emotions that rise against you, discouragement, depression, despair, those things that we deal with. You know, we're not naturally joyful people all the time because we deal with so much warfare in our life. But you can be naturally joyful person if you get the water flowing, because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's the kingdom, the waters bringing the righteousness, peace, and joy. Amen. We better get going here. I'm spending a lot of time. All right. So the Lord said, verse 6, he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and he grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth. Now, God's not in the destroying business anymore. He's in the saving business. Amen. But what he is going to destroy is the parts of your flesh that will attempt to rise against you, especially in the last days, where God's expression of glory will be the greatest in any generation of human history, when his glory fills the earth through his people. He's going to use his people. He is also going to have the living waters destroy those capacities that we all have. They may not be full-blown, but it's still capacity. The living water can go down into the root system and cleanse out the capacity. All right. Now, look at verse 11. So the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Corruption from the flesh. If you leave flesh unrestrained, it will move from violence to murder. It's all part of the capacity. It's not just a spirit, it's a capacity, because the nature's fallen. And if that nature was able to grow up, it would spring up into violence. It would spring up into destruction. That's what flesh does. Verse 12, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. So God had to have a remedy here. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come up before me. And there's two ways you can read that. It's the end of the earth. Well, it was, because only eight people come up out of that ark. The way I like to see is the end of all flesh. The fruition of flesh has come up before me. The fruition of sin. It's come to such an advanced state, there's no other way to deal with it. Don't start dealing with areas in your life when they come to full blown. The waters of God can reach down into that and drive it all out, so it'll never grow up in the first place. People that are constantly dealing with a sin in their life and a stronghold, they don't have what it takes to get that out. But I'm telling you, the living water can go up in there and drive that stuff out. That living water will wash your body. What do you think he's washing? When he's washing your body, he's washing your nature with the living water. He said he washes you with the water of the words, and you can be without spot and without wrinkle. It's the flesh is where the spot and wrinkle comes from. And that living water is going to wash that from. He's going to prepare his bride by the flow of the living water in the last days. She will be without spot because the waters will perfect us in areas that would not otherwise be perfected. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Everyone say booyah. Hallelujah. And then he tells him, verse 14, make an ark. This is a very interesting dynamic. Because you want this imagery. The way you're going to go out in these waters is you have to see them. The way you move in the Spirit is you see it by the Word, and you move out in faith by what you see. You have to move by the imagery of the Word of God. That's how you move into the kingdom. The Word gives the imagery. It gives the light. And you move into that image. You move into that light. So you have to have it in you. You can't move into blank space in the kingdom. You don't do that. You can't close your eyes and just go somewhere. That's not how you move into the kingdom. You don't move into the kingdom by feeling either, even though there will be feeling. If you move by feeling, you'll be in the wrong place. I move strictly by the light of the Word. I already know where I'm going before I start. I have a compass that was set by the Word of God. I know these are cleansing. I know these waters are for purification. I know these waters will wash. They will wash my body with pure water. I know they'll wash the spot and wrinkle. I know they will perfect areas that try to rise against me. And I know these waters are very powerful. If they cleanse the whole face of the earth, what can they do to my flesh? But I see that water, but I see it. I need to show it to you in your shadow. When you see these waters starting to flood the earth, you have to understand these waters are going to flood your body. You want them to flood your body because these waters are going to drive out things that don't belong there. It's going to wash that nature down so it's clean, so it doesn't rise up against the true air of God, which is your newborn spirit and the operation of the Holy Ghost with you. Amen. More importantly, they're not going to rise up and give you problems. One of the things I've found since I've already had one major session with these waters, and I'm talking major, that he's changed my desires in about two or three areas, just totally changed them. I just have no desire for it anymore. I have such a desire for more and more of the purity of God. I mean, certain things even on TV, I don't even want to look at. I don't even want to hear. When I saw something, I said, no, I'm not interested in that. You know, when you're first born again, and that conscience was so pure. I mean, everything is just great on you. You get back to that sensitivity already in one session. And the Lord told me, he said, you want to go out and deeper in the waters, you'll have to allow these waters to purify you because you can't go out to the deep in the state you're in. He goes, that's why the waters are progressive. There's ankle, there's knees, there's loins, there's overhead, and then there's the deep fountains we're going to look at tonight. God not only calls it to rain, he opened the fountains of the deep. And flooded the earth. He goes, if you want to go that far out, you just don't decide to go out in the deep. You've got to go through a progressive stage of cleansing and transformation. He goes, you can't do that on your own. Have you been able to discipline and change your stuff all these years by discipline? Doesn't work. Only the living water is going to transform that stuff. It's going to remove the spot and wrinkle. Amen. Verse 17. And behold, I do bring a flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Now, that doesn't sound very good, does it? But if you see it under the shadow and understand how to meditate this, everything that's in my earthen vessel that's not of God, every capacity I have for sin, he's going to flood this earthen vessel. He's going to wash it with pure water. And everything that's not of him is going to die. And that's the way I see it. Everything in my flesh is not of him. Come, O living water. Come, O living water. Flood my earthen vessel. Fill my water pot with water. And everything that's not of him, let it die and be washed away in the flood. Oh, booyah. Why? I can see the water. I can have it. If I can see the cleansing water, I can have it. I went 24 years not even knowing that living water could wash my body with pure water. I've been trying to fast that stuff away. God, that's hard. I fast away. He gets it all down. I'm like, oh, it's gone. Then all of a sudden I quit fasting. It just rises right back up. And then I chop the tree down again with another fast, and it just rises back up. What am I going to get to eat? There's an easier way. When I get the living water, because I see the cleansing power in the living water, because the Holy Spirit said, no, these waters are here to cleanse your earthen vessel. They're here to cleanse that capacity that wants to rise against me. They're here to wash the body with pure living water. They're here to wash your soul. They're here to submerge your emotions in living water so they're not subject to discouragement and fear and torment. And they're not subject to depression and heaviness. You're not ruled by emotion. You're surrounded and submerged in peace. You're submerged in glory. You're submerged in righteousness, peace, and joy. You'll actually walk around happy. Happy, happy, happy. Because the living water's gotten on you. Your emotions, you can swing both ways. I tell you right now, they jump in the river with God and go, hallelujah. You walk out there and get some bad news, and the emotions go straight down to the valley. Because they're not born again. Your mind can serve God and serve the devil. It's not born again. That's why the waters have to come over and come. You got to bring all that stuff in the water and have it washed. And when your mind starts getting washed, there's many levels. The Lord told me about washing the mind. He goes, the things I want to wash first is the things you allow in through your ear gate, through your eye gate. He goes, but further than that, I want to take your mind out into the deep too, because I want to remove some of the fallen nature that's closed the creative part of your brain off. He goes, you only use a very little of it because darkness caused the fall of man. Every once in a while, you get an Einstein that just gets released that full brain power, you know. Your mind can get subject to the living water, and he'll start opening the creative realm. He said, you watch what I'll do in the last days, and my people begin to drink of the living water, and more important, go out into the depths of the living water with me. I'll start opening the creative nature of man again. You'll see creativity spawn in a brand new way. Whew. About the creative nature of God. The Lord told me, he goes, I don't create anything until I put it under the water first. He goes, you were born out of water. Are you a unique individual? Are you? Everyone say, I'm a unique individual. You were born out of water. You lived in a womb of water for 9 months. The earth came out of the water. And then when it come up out of the water, he flooded it again. And the water covered the face of the earth. Then he reached down and created Adam out of an earth that was flooded with water. He doesn't do anything till he floods it with water. Before Jesus entered into his ministry of creative miracles, not one creative miracle was ever performed or recorded that was performed until he went to the baptismal waters of John. He went under the water as a sign that everything I do must go under the water. You've got to go under the living waters if you want the creative realm to come forth. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. You can drink from the waters. You can go all the way out of them. The choice is yours. What you do with the waters, the choice is yours. You got to get hungry. Because the enemy, he'll fight those wells. That's the first message we had. Warfare, if you're going to live on top, he'll be all over those wells. He'll bring all kinds of stuff again. Until you get down in that well where that water is, he'll fight you like crazy. All he wants to do is just stop your water. He don't care if you go to church 7 days a week. He just wants to stop the water flowing out of you. Because he can't control you when water's flowing out of you. He can't control anything about that water. It totally and completely will disengage his kingdom and disarm his kingdom. Go to Genesis 7, verse 1. Hallelujah. I want you to have this imagery, because the imagery I'm giving you, that's why I tell you, listen to these over and over and over until the light comes on, because it's that image you move into the spirit with. You move into the realms of these waters with the very image I'm preaching. That's what you do. I close my eyes and I see those waters and I go out into them. I said, oh, Father, rain on my flesh and let the fountains of the deep come up, but flood my body. Flood me with living water, because you said you would wash me with living water. Man, I just stay on it. I stay all over until that water starts flowing, and man, did it flow. 7:1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee I have seen righteous before me in this generation. Now, this is very interesting, because what's about to happen is you have this ark that's going to float on top of the water, and you're going to have rain for 40 days and 40 nights. that's going to flood the earth. But also there was fountains of the deep, the Bible says, that opened the fountains of the deep and it flooded the earth. But the ark stayed on top, but everything else was underneath. And I said, all right, well, I don't get this, Lord. I said, because I know you're flooding my body. I said, well, who's in the ark? He said, your spirit's in the ark. I've already cleansed your spirit with the blood. Your spirit lives in a whole nother dimension altogether. That's why you're a dual citizen. Your spirit and your body are two different natures altogether. They're two different kingdoms. Your body was born in this kingdom. Your spirit's born in another kingdom. Your spirit's going to ride on top of these waters. When you were raised in baptism, I said this earlier. Remember I said that? You were seated with him at the right hand of God. Do you think your flesh is seated with him at the right hand of God? Your flesh could never make it there until it gets glorified. So your spirit's seated in a higher dimension while your flesh is going to stay under the water. So when you were raised with him in baptism, because we went into the baptismal waters, crucified with Christ, our spirit come out of those waters. Well, what happened? Your flesh is supposed to stay under the water. And this is what Noah was trying to teach us here. Your flesh is supposed to stay under these waters because this washing of this water is going to wash the nature. This water is going to wash that fallen nature, and they are powerful. How do you know? Because I've already had an encounter with them. Hallelujah. All right, verse 4. And yet 7 days I'll cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. Every living substance that I've made will I destroy from the face of the earth. When I say everything that's trying to live in my flesh, you are going to die. You just got to cooperate with the word. You got to get in there and know what it's talking about and start cooperating with it. Because you got to see the water's going to flood that stuff. Amen. Verse 6, and Noah, I like this, was 600 years old when the flood waters were upon the earth. I said, what's the deal with that 6? He says the number of man times 100 and flesh was in its fullest state. He goes, that's the best time for the water to come, when flesh is reigning. The body of Christ right now is full of flesh. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. It's pretty crazy. But it doesn't matter. Because God's not going to change this with the personality of man. He's not going to transform this. He is going to send something very powerful. And I'm going to give you a revelation. He's already sent it. What he's going to do is teach his people how to tap what he's already put in us. And when these living waters start flowing out of the body of Christ, and these waters start perfecting our spot and wrinkle, you'll start seeing the creative power of God start rising up and start filling the earth, because it's going to perfect you. And then it's going to start flowing out of you. And we know by Ezekiel 47, once he could get the church overhead, got him past the ankles, past the knees, got him waters to swim in. Once he got in that state of baptism, then he walked him right back to the shoreline, and those waters became creative at that point, because man's dominion was baptized into the waters. See, he has to have your dominion fully baptized in the living water. And then those waters flow to the Dead Sea, and everything that was dead started living. The fish of the sea were converted to the kingdom of God. There are no fish in the Dead Sea, but there are in the Dead Sea of humanity. There's a whole lot of them. They're going to be converted. Mass salvation. God's going to do this by the living water. He's not going to do this by effort of man. If the enemy can't stop you, he's going to try to get your allegiance transferred to a different kind of water flowing out of you. Because the original curse, what was it? Out of the sweat of your brow, man would give his labor to the earth. Out of the sweat, water flowing out of your flesh. That's Amalek. Wearisome, tiresome, human effort, human labor. See, God designed you for living water to flow out of you. And that living water would create promotion, advancement, favor, goodness, mercy, glory, blessing, joy, peace, righteousness. But what happens? The enemy cuts that operation. Flesh, Ishmael stands in the way, and then waters of the flesh start going out. Out of the sweat of the brow. That's what the enemy has the church right now. Trying to save a world by its own sufficiency, it'll never happen. Trying to be relevant. We need to preach a gospel of relevance. Look like the world, act like the world, sound like the world. I tell you right now, I tell you every once in a while, sometime Friday night, I'll turn it on certain Christian stations, and I see these guys that say they're Christian, this rock music, and just crazy. I said, there is no way that can any way glorify God, and there's no way that can save somebody. There's just no way. I don't even see the relevance in that. But the problem is we think, well, we got to be relevant. I'm going to tell you, the biggest relevance we need is the living water flowing out, because everybody needs the living water. Once they get a drink of that, shukabuya. Amen. I like this, verse 7. And Noah went in, his sons, his wife, his sons' wives, into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Now see, your spirits could be up in that ark. Generational inheritance is up in that ark. Now we need these floodwaters to begin now, because they're going to flood parts of us that need thorough washing. We don't know how much we need washing till we actually get washed. Amen. Now look at this, verse 10. And it came to pass after 7 days, the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Now that was bad back then, because God was washing out the sin and the violence of the earth. That's good for us, because he's washing the sin and the violence of our flesh. He's washing the capacity. You see that? I can name about 10 men right now that have all fallen, and every one of them, when they first started, if you would ask them, do you think you're going to fall on an international scale? And they would say, absolutely not. Are you kidding me? You can't underestimate our enemy. Amen. Verse 11, like this, in the 600th year of Noah's life, the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day, look at this, were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. And the windows of heaven were opened from above, and the fountains of the great deep. Now, I like that a lot, because that tells me that there are some spiritual fountains of the deep that I can go down there and get to. There's a lot of fountains flowing. I want to go down into the deep, call it the deep. I'm swimming in the waters. Last night, I got so caught up in these waters. There are some glorious realms to the kingdom of God, is all I can tell you. There was such a life imparted. And I wasn't even planning. I was about ready to go to bed. And I said, you know, I'm just going to go see if the water's flowing tonight. Sometime I'll get out there and that water just flows immediately. Sometime I got to really prime it a little bit. And I was like, well, I'm going to go out there and see if it's flowing. I just walked out there and I'm telling you. But I started moving out into the deep, in some glorious realm of the God. I mean, the light and the glory, and all I could think of, the waters of restoration. There was pure life, just pure life. And it imparted something into me so deep that I laid in bed for 5 straight hours because that life. And Anna goes, have you been praying? Because I wouldn't lay down, and because she was half asleep. And she woke, she goes, I can feel something vibrating over there. She goes, something's falling on me. Something's getting on me. It's just emanating. Because when you get into this stuff, it'll emanate up out of you. He said, I'm not ready for the breakout yet. I'm ready for you to get out there deeper and deeper and deeper. You got to get out there before it breaks open. He really wants us to learn the access. Don't listen to this message and don't do anything with it. If you were practicing the right hand of God, it would have given you instantaneous access to these waters, because you learn how to move into another jurisdiction. If you haven't learned to move in another jurisdiction, that's hard at the beginning. That's hard. You don't know what you're doing. How do I get over there? You got to learn how to move into that realm. The biggest thing you need to do is fill up with the water. Fill up with the word of God and you'll move into it. Amen. Hallelujah. You with me? 17, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted above the earth. I like that. I said, oh, lift my spirit above the earth. Lift me up into the right hand of God. Let the waters increase in my flesh. Let my body fill with water. See, he had to get Ezekiel all the way out into the water. So I want it all filled up. What did he do in his very first miracle? Fill the water pot with water. Fill it all the way up. Get my body in the water. The Lord said, not only am I going to get your body in the water, I'm going to keep it there so it never rises against you. What I like, the best part I like about this right now is the emotion. Because when you really go after God hard, you're going to experience a lot of emotional battle, because the enemy is relentless against your emotions, because he's always bringing stuff. But when you get your emotions start baptized and saturating in the living water, the joy and the peace of the kingdom of God's overriding his ability to draw your emotions into his realm of discouragement, his realm of heaviness, depression, See, your emotions won't go there. You're not going to be seesawing. Your emotions become stable in the water, see, because they're under baptism. Whatever's under the water, the enemy cannot touch. Hallelujah forever. Verse 18, and the waters prevailed. That's part of your confession. Oh, let the waters prevail. Let the waters prevail tonight, Father, in my spirit, my body. Let the waters prevail in my flesh. Let the waters prevail. Wash my body in pure water. Wash me in the water of your word. Let the waters prevail. And let them increase greatly upon my earth. That's what I do. You got to make confession out of this. Let these waters prevail in my body. Let them increase greatly in my earthen vessel. I call these waters to increase greatly in my earthen vessel. Oh, waters, you're increasing greatly. Filling me up, filling me up, filling me up. These waters will prevail against my flesh. They will prevail against the fallen nature. They will prevail against the nature of emotions. These waters will prevail. You start talking like that, you're going to start having a whole lot more victory. Or you can wait for it to rain. I need the fountains to open up from the deep. I've waited for a long time for God to rain, and he does rain. You know, there's a drought over Texas. You know, some things are signs, miracles, and wonders right now. Some things are for signs. There's a drought right now. You can pray for the rain or go open up the well. Which one's going to be? I love it when it's raining. I have nothing wrong with God. Rain down. I love it when it rains. But if I have to wait for the rain, I'm in trouble. Not when I got a well. If it's not raining and I got a well here, now I'll pray for it to rain, but I'm going to spend most of my time getting water up out of that well because I know those waters are sure and they will flow all the time. That well is within you. It shall be in you a well springing up. These waters are what you see them to be by the word of God. If the word shows you what's in the water, that's what they'll become. These waters we're looking at tonight are waters of purification, cleansing, waters of holiness, waters of consecration, waters of righteousness, purifying. Ooh, hallelujah. Isn't that good? I'm lifted, the waters prevailed. And the ark went up upon the face of the waters. The waters prevailed exceedingly. That's what you confess. Verse 19, these waters are prevailing exceedingly. Let them prevail exceedingly. Let them prevail. All the high hills were under the whole heaven were covered. You know what the high hills are? Strongholds. Strongholds. If you want to know what strongholds are, you need to watch a show called Kitchen Nightmares. Chef Gordon Ramsay. That man will confront the stronghold within the first day of being in that restaurant, and you'll see people's stronghold. They're failing. They're about to go under. They're miserably in debt, and they've got about a week left of their restaurant, and they'll fight him like crazy. Strongholds, the high hills, the stuff that we can't get rid of, the stuff that keeps hanging out with us. Those are the ones going under the water. That's why you have to have these waters exceedingly prevail. You got to speak to them. You got to get into the waters. You got to get acclimated. You have to move into that realm. If you will take these messages and start listening to them over and over and over and over, and over, the faith will come alive for you to step out into the water. Once you get your first drink, you're on your way because they are contagious. But I want the waters to prevail exceedingly because I want the high hills, the strongholds. I want them under water. I am not going to discipline myself against strongholds the rest of my life. I want these waters to wash them out. Amen? Listen, when these waters wash your flesh, you'll feel like your flesh is born again. Because they wash so deeply. Your flesh will not be born again. The nature will still be there. It's kind of like weeding your garden, putting that fresh mulch out there with beautiful flowers. And look at it and go, just nicely watered, beautiful green grass. Look at this. Just leave that alone for about a month and a half, and you watch what happens. 2-3 months, weeds will start growing up on that. That's the way it is with your body. You got to rewater it. You got to stay in the water. How long do I have to do this, Pastor? You live by the living water. Once you start drinking of its glory, you won't want to live any other way. Let's move to chapter 8 real quick. Genesis 8. Now look at this. Now the waters had flooded the earth. Now they receded and you saw the mountaintops again. Now watch what he does. This is amazing. In chapter 8:8, and he sent forth a dove out of the ark. Why do you think he sent a dove? Waters were still on the face of the earth. Because anything God's going to do after he's flooded, who has to be hovering? The Holy Ghost. He was hovering in Genesis. He was hovering over Christ's baptism. And he's hovering over the waters of Noah. He's always hovering with the waters. The Holy Spirit is not the water. He is sent to facilitate the water. The water is the living inheritance of Christ. It's his fullness. It's everything he purchased for you. He put it in the water. He gave you the Holy Spirit to manifest the waters, to materialize the waters, to transmit the waters. And he'll always be hovering around the water. The Holy Spirit will always be on the face. He's there to help you with these waters. He's going to help you get these waters up. And when he gets them up out of your temple, he'll manifest them. As soon as he filled the water pot with water, what'd he do? Bear it. And he transformed that water to wine. Ooh! He sent the dove. I love this. Look at verse 11. He sent him. He comes back. Because it's still on the water. What's he looking for? He wants to see something from the water. He's going to bring back a sign that these waters did their job. Verse 11, and the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. The olive leaf, the olive branch, of course, is symbolic of Christ, but it's also the national symbolic of peace on the earth. No more violence. What happens when these waters cleanse you? No more flesh, no more violence. There's peace now. It's the nature of Christ that's been washed into your flesh. When he's done, the Holy Ghost is done with these living waters, your body going to feel like it's born again, even though it's not going to feel like it. And you're going to produce peace where there was a storm. There's going to be wholeness where there was disarray. There's going to be the harmony of God where there was violence and all manners of perversion. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Now, look at verse 20. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. Now, he has stepped off. He's off the ark now, okay? He steps off. What's the first thing he does? He builds an altar and then he sacrifices to the Lord. Now watch this, verse 20. And Noah builded an altar to the Lord, and he offered burnt offerings on the altar. Verse 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, oh, you got to get this. These waters are going to do something. They're going to do something much deeper than you may have thought. Once he comes off and he offers his burnt offering, watch what happens here. He says, the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. What was he referencing when he cursed the ground in chapter 3? He said, of thorns and thistles and of the sweat of your brow will the earth bring its fruit. After these waters cleanse your flesh, what else did it cleanse? Your capacity for Ishmael, your capacity for Amalek. It cleansed your capacity to operate by the sweat of the brow, by the waters of the flesh. Now your capacity's been cleansed. He goes, I will no more curse that ground. That ground is freed from that curse. You will now function by the living water. I broken that off of you. When you get enough water on you, you'll stop operating by the waters of the flesh. You'll stop operating by the sweat of the brow, and you will start operating in the kingdom of God. For it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. The kingdom of God is within you. What else is within you? See, Christ is in you. What else is in you? The whole thing. It's within you as a well of water that will spring up into eternity. He put the kingdom of God in the living water. He put it in the living water. And now we're going to operate by waters flowing out of us. For our capacity to operate and be a part of an earth curse system is over. The only way you're going to do that is have these waters cleanse you, these waters purify you, and make you whole. Woo! That's good, ain't it? Oh, man. Now, one more thing. Go to chapter 9. This is the best. I say the best for the last. Let me tell you what else is going to happen when these waters get you ready and break that earth curse system and cleanse down your flesh. It's inheritance time. It's reaping time. It's blessing time. This is right here, without a doubt, the single greatest transference of wealth the world had ever seen since the day of Adam. Nobody's ever seen it since. Do you get that? There's wealth transference in these waters. Are you ready to see this? Watch this. Chapter 9, verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons. And only 8 of them come off that ark. Whoop! You come up out of these waters, and they're going to be inheritance, my friend. He said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon the fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and all the fish of the sea. Into your hands they are delivered. When Noah come up out of that ark, he owned the entire world. He owned everything. Wasn't trying to get him some 50 acres over here. All of it was his. All 7 continents belonged to him and his generations. All the gold of the earth belonged to him and his generations. He owned everything. All the cattle. Everything that lived on the earth belonged to Noah. The single greatest transference of wealth in the history of man came out of these waters. When you get under the water, there is going to be some creative stuff happening. And when those waters reside off of your flesh, there is going to be some generational inheritance that's going to show up by the living God. There's going to be some blessing. I'm talking about God kind of blessing. You're not going to be operating by the sweat of the brow just trying to make a living. God's going to deliver some stuff to you. Because these living waters have life. They have generational inheritance in them. There's some blessing in the water. Whoa. That's the kind of wealth transference I'm looking for. In one single thing. See, what God's really doing through these waters is he's going to wash the world system off of you. He's going to wash the curse system off of you. And when you come up out of these waters, you're going to be flowing in another kingdom that trumps and triumphs over the kingdom of this world. And when you walk out there, there's going to be some kind of goodness happening to you. Some kind of favor going to be on your life. And we'll see, my God, what's on you? Everything you touch gets blessed. And says, that's because I live by the living water. This stuff flows out of me. It's not me, it's this water. His blessings in it. Everything I touch, his water's getting on it. I got delivered from the earth curse system when I went under the water. That's why you got to go into baptism, because the old part of you is going to have to stay down in that water. But that new man that's in the ark, when he steps off the ark, he's going to start inheriting as a joint heir with Christ. He's going to be the inheritor, and he's going to receive of the riches Christ received in the right hand of God. Worthy is the Lamb to have received power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory. And he received that inheritance. He said, sit here at my right side and I'll share this inheritance with you. But more importantly, I'm going to show you how to operate with what I have purchased for you in the earth. But I got to get your flesh under the water, because your flesh is in another system, and I'm going to tear up. Whoa. That water. Oh, man. That water's going to wash away an area of my life that's been standing against him. That area that thinks it can do it. Going to wash that stuff down and get it out of the way. Even the high heels are going to be covered in the water. I said, oh God, get me under the water. If I have a prayer now, is get me under the water. Get my high heels under the water. Get my strongholds under the water. Get my body under this water and let this water prevail. Let it wash away that system. Let it wash away. They'll say, booyah. They'll say, booyah. I am an inheritor of the earth. Because my spirit is seated with him. And he is teaching us how he's going to get this thing done. Man, I tell you what. You got to take a chainsaw and saw off about half of all the stuff that's causing you problems. Saw it off. But get yourself in the water. Get your body in the water. Get your mind in the water. Get your spirit in the water. Get out there and learn how to drink and do not take no for an answer. Get after that well. If you get denied, go right back at it the next day. If you get denied, get right back at it the next day. I have it all on the website. I got scriptures up there and everything for you. Just jump back in there. Say, one thing I'm going to do, come through the waters. You start by drinking. Then you start going out into the waters. But what we are headed for, my friends, the end run is we're going into the waters of baptism. I'm going to get out there under the water. I said, Lord, I cannot be in the ankles. I can't be speaking to the rock with water on my knees and getting the blessing. I want to go all the way out because I'm looking for the creative realm. I'm looking for the realm of wealth transference, and I'm looking for the realm of creative miracles, and I got to get under the water because God does not birth anything until it gets under the water.